What is the King Jesus debate? That's what we're going to discover on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and thank you, friend, for joining us today. We've got an exciting show, one in which we're going to talk about two different theological perspectives. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to kick off this series, so let's go right to it. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to the show. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
We are going to discuss some issues of today. One thing that's kind of been going around the blogosphere, is that what they call it, the blogosphere, is this idea that there's a King Jesus gospel, and there's a little bit of a debate.
A King Jesus gospel?
Yeah, they call it King Jesus gospel as opposed to a soterian gospel.
I see.
Now, what does soterian mean?
Soteria means salvation in Greek. So this would be a salvation gospel versus a King Jesus gospel?
What they're calling the King Jesus gospel. So the two people, it seems like, who are spearheading this King Jesus gospel are Matthew Bates, whom I don't know if you debated directly. Did you debate
him? I did on Moody Radio. We had a little one-hour radio program about his book, Salvation by Allegiance Alone.
Right, okay.
And he was arguing that justification by faith is really justification by allegiance to King Jesus.
Right.
Although back then he wasn't saying King Jesus, he was just saying allegiance to Jesus who is King, something like
that. Right. And I think the title King Jesus Gospel comes from Scott McKnight, who's the other player in this, and that's the title of one of his books.
He's the guy with the big blog, the Jesus Creed blog.
Yeah, that's right. And so I just want to discuss an article that came out on April 20th. And it's called Good News, Are the T4G TGC Leaders Starting to Change Their Gospel? Now, T4G is Together for the Gospel, and TGC is the Gospel Coalition.
Which are basically Calvinists, right? Groups of Calvinists. Some are the new Calvinists, but basically these would be people like John MacArthur.
John Piper, Al Mohler.
These are some of the
names. Yeah, these are some of the names that Matthew Bates
and the late R.C. Sproul used to be part of that.
Right. And so here's how I understand the debate. Weirdly, from our perspective, both of those groups, Together for the Gospel, Gospel Coalition people, and now let's call them the King Jesus Gospel people, Scott McKnight and Matthew Bates. They're both what we would consider lordship salvation.
And pretty strong lordship salvation.
Right. We would say people like John MacArthur and John Piper are, on the one hand, they might say they believe in justification by faith apart from works, but there's all kinds of other statements they make where clearly they believe that salvation depends upon works in some way.
Right, and they both argue if you don't persevere, you either don't get final salvation or you prove you weren't saved in the first place.
Right. They will deny that they teach salvation by works, even though you can have lots and lots and lots of quotes that clearly show that that's what they believe. At least Matthew Bates and Scott McKnight, they are clearly up front, although I wonder if they would admit to it. They clearly say, yeah, to believe means to commit your whole life and to do all these works and to be, there's an allegiance to Jesus.
That's the word they like to use, right, is allegiance, which is basically, you know, I pledge allegiance. I pledge my work, I pledge my life, I pledge my all to serve my country. And if I'm pledging allegiance to Jesus, well, then I'm giving him my all.
Right. So it definitely, for them, we often say, hey, lordship people, redefine faith to include good works. And for sure, Matthew Bates he's totally upfront about that.
I mean, right.
To believe is to align yourself to the king. Allegiance to the king is what believing is.
Right.
I just read a comment from a friend of ours, a missionary named Paul in the Ukraine, and he said even though his light, the power was off, he found himself still walking into rooms and flipping on the switch. Even though he knew the power was off, he kept on flipping on the switch just to turn the lights on, even though he knew he couldn't. And he said, and that's why he knows he can't trust himself to be his own savior. He can't even depend on knowing when not to turn on the light switch. So let alone, you know, if he can't do that, he can't save himself. If my salvation depended upon the quality of my allegiance to Jesus, I'm as toast as if my salvation depended on keeping the Ten Commandments.
All of us are. Because the truth is, any allegiance we have to Jesus is imperfect. I mean, the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Barnabas, when they came to Antioch, where Paul was, they withdrew from the Gentiles and wouldn't eat with the Gentiles at the Lord's Supper meal, the love feast, because there were some Judaizers who were influencing them. And Paul says in Galatians 2, you were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So if an apostle can sometimes have his allegiance to Jesus falter, for example, Peter denied Jesus three times. That's, of course, before he had the permanent indwelling of the Spirit. But still, you had occasions afterwards like I had described. And you're right, none of us would have eternal life if it was based on allegiance, because then you would say, well, how allegiant do you have to be?
How consistent?
How much is enough?
How long does it take? How devoted do I need to be?
And if I have a blip, how big of a blip? I mean, they all say you can fall away. So what happens according to Bates, or what happens according to McKnight, if I fall away for a week? Do I lose my salvation for a week?
Right.
Do I lose it permanently? Or do I keep it because I'm basically allegiant?
Do you have to try to be allegiant? Is it, you know, doing your best to be allegiant?
And even on the rest of the time when you haven't fallen away, you're not completely allegiant because you still sin, which doesn't 1 John 1:9 still apply?
Right. Well, so this article, Good News by Matthew Bates, are the Together for the Gospel and the Gospel Coalition leaders starting to change their gospel? Basically, here's his charge. He says that basically they're making missteps regarding the center of the gospel.
Yeah, what does he say they call the center of the gospel?
Justification by faith, apart from works.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't call that the gospel, but see, I would say that is the center of the promise of life.
Well, see, okay, so this is where it kind of gets interesting, because as I was reading this, I was thinking, okay, where would we fall on this question? So he's saying that Together for the Gospel and Nine Marks people have been getting the framework and heart of the gospel wrong. He says the true biblical gospel is that proclamation that Jesus has become the Christ, the Lord of all, and the King, and especially that he's been enthroned at God's right hand. And so the gospel is really about what Jesus did. It's not about justification by faith apart from works.
Well, let me make a brief comment here and say that's not true, his statement.
Okay.
Jesus has become the Christ, Lord of all, the King. No, Jesus has forever been the Christ. He has forever been the Lord of all. He has forever been the King. He was, is, and will be those things. Now, it's true until his incarnation, you could argue he really couldn't be practicing as the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord of all, the King. And ultimately, he's not yet the King. He is the King in the same sense he was when he was on earth or even before he was on the earth.
Right.
But he's not ruling as King now.
And, you know, that's a point that we're going to get back to in a second, where I think the free grace position kind of takes a unique position on this. But anyway, Bates goes on to explain where salvation fits into this King Jesus gospel. He says, subsequently, the Spirit applies the benefits of the gospel. So personal salvation is a benefit of the gospel to those who respond with pistis, that is, allegiance. And in brackets, this is how he defines allegiance, bodily loyalty, inclusive of trust. Listen, that's works. You've redefined, literally redefined faith to include works, bodily loyalty. I mean, he must mean, and I don't know why he just doesn't come out and say it, you need good works. Bodily loyalty means how you behave.
Right.
Right? How you actually live your life.
Exactly.
So why doesn't he just use works? Just go ahead and say it if that's what you believe. And by the way, Matthew Bates teaches at a Catholic university. You know, if you believe in salvation by works, just join the Catholic Church. Join a church that believes that. But he goes on to say, the gospel proper is what the King has done for us apart from whether you and I have responded. A point both Piper and Gilbert misunderstand. And so basically his point is, yeah, personal salvation is a benefit of the gospel, but the gospel is not about how you are to be saved. The gospel is about what Jesus did. He became the King. He became the Christ. And because of that, you can be saved if you have this bodily loyalty to him.
Right. And part of the problem with this is there is no verse, including the ones he cites, that defines the gospel in this way. In fact, if you want to go to 1 Corinthians 15:1-11, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as it's often used in the New Testament, not always, is that Jesus died, was buried, and rose from the dead and appeared to many. None of that is what Bates is talking about the gospel. And that also is not the saving message. That's
right.
The message that leads us to be saved by believing in Jesus for the salvation he promises.
So the way, and that's kind of touches on where I think you would have a different view of this. On the one hand, I think you would agree that there is a gospel that is specifically about the kingdom and about Jesus being king. And we see that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, especially.
The gospel of the kingdom.
See, we don't call it the King Jesus gospel. We just use the term that the New Testament uses, the gospel of the kingdom.
And in those books, you can look at Mark 1, 14, 15, and 16. And what that is the good news that the kingdom of God had drawn near. And that was the message of John the Baptist. That was the message of Jesus.
Right.
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Okay.
This was to Israel, and the kingdom is near, and that's called the good news of the kingdom.
And let's clarify that. So that gospel proclamation, that is a gospel, demanded a response from Israel, and that response was?
Well, it was repentance, and it was faith.
Right.
Because in order for the kingdom to come for Israel, there must be national repentance and national faith.
And
individual regeneration is different.
Right, and would you include water baptism as part of that condition?
Well, it's not crystal clear, mm-hmm. but that was something God wanted.
Mm-hmm.
He sent the forerunner out with a baptism of repentance.
Right.
So probably.
And Jesus and the apostles, I mean, they were baptizing too.
Right, and there were lots of baptisms within Judaism, and I assume during the tribulation, when Israel will be both at the end repentant and believing, they will probably have some sort of baptism.
So there is a sense in which there is a gospel that's specifically about the kingdom. And this is something dispensationalists have been saying for over 100 years. But we're going to have to discuss this more in the next episode.
Right.
Let me just pitch a book that you've written. It's called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. And one of those chapters is about the word gospel.
And in it, I basically discuss the fact that the term gospel means good news, and there's not some uniform meaning, but the primary one is Jesus died and rose again, and that's not the message of how we're born again. That's the proof of the promise of life.
Right.
It's the proof that if we believe in Jesus, we have eternal life.
Well, we're going to get back to that in the next show, so
All right. On
listening and pick up a copy of 10 Most Misunderstood Words, available at faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax-deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, we've just begun to scratch the surface on this interesting subject, so I'd like to invite you to join us again tomorrow as we continue in this series. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.